Tonight we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at two verses tonight, verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your kindness toward us, your goodness and your grace, your mercy and compassion toward us, your people. And what a privilege it is to be your people. And we're learning on Sunday nights what exactly we are as your people. We are who you have made us. You are who you say we are. And so we thank you that we are new creatures in Christ, that we have been born again. We have been regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God, and we have been made new. And we thank you for that blessed truth. We're thankful that we are the children of God, and you are our Father. And we're grateful for what we are compared to what we have been, and yet we wait eagerly for even greater truth of what we will be. When we leave this life, we will be made like you because we will see you as you are. So we're grateful and thankful for who you have made us in Christ. And we thank you for all that you have done for us. And we can never praise you enough or glorify you enough, but God, we pray that you would help us, that we would glorify you to the best we could, knowing that you deserve so much more. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Peter there speaking of Christ. Then look at verse number 5. And ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And that's the Lord's words for us tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Well, we're looking at those texts in Scripture where God tells us exactly who we are in Christ so that there will be no confusion. We seem to live in a realm of confusion, people confused about exactly who they are. As believers, there is no confusion about who we are. We are who God tells us exactly we are. We find our identity in Christ and what He has made us in Christ. So far, we have seen two things that God says we are as His people. We are new creations in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we are the children of God in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Tonight, Peter tells us we are lively stones in Christ. So we want to examine tonight the implications of that particular identity that we have in Christ. And we can't talk about that without talking about the church. And so I was telling somebody the other day, if there's any subject that I think that Christians have missed the importance of, is the church. So Peter tells us here that we are lively stones in Christ. You understand that the church does not grow, and I'm talking about the people that make up the church, they do not grow by anything pastors or members do. The Bible says the Lord builds the church. Say amen. The Lord said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Jesus did not say, I will build your church. Some pastors need to get that. It's not their church. And Jesus did not say, you will build my church. The church belongs to the Lord. Amen? And He alone builds His church. So how does the Lord build the church? I think that's what 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 that we read answers. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Peter writes to Christians, that's who he is addressing here in this letter, and these are Christians who are scattered throughout the Roman province of Asia Minor, and they were facing growing religious intolerance. And this intolerance would soon become persecution when the emperor Nero became determined to rid Christianity from the Roman Empire. And the Apostle Peter writes this letter to the church to call the church to live in these days in hope in the midst of a hostile society. And in the context of the letter, the text that we read sort of marks a transition from the emphasis of Peter being on the conduct of the saints to the communion of the saints. And it's also a transition, it seems, from Peter giving practical exhortations to doctrinal explanation. This section explains the nature of the church and the function of the church. And it begins with a statement about how the Lord builds the church. If you go back and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, those three verses that come right before the text we read, you'll notice that Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So those three verses are commanding Christians towards spiritual maturity by changing their ways and changing their attitudes, laying aside things, desiring the sincere milk of the word, and growing. And the basis of this Christian maturity that they are called toward is that they were to be part of the church that the Lord is building up for His glory. And Peter says these believers need to grow, but they can't grow by themselves. Something that you need to realize, all of us stand with room to grow. Say amen. All of us stand with room to mature spiritually, but we cannot grow by ourselves. You become more mature spiritually as part of the church that the Lord builds. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, 5 teaches us two foundational truths about how the Lord builds the church. So tonight there's only two points, which would seem to indicate we might get out earlier than usual, but that simply is a misunderstanding. Number one, notice the process by which the Lord builds the church. To whom coming, we come to Christ, who is a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now that word coming is a simple yet significant word in the text. It means literally in the Greek to move towards or to approach or entry into a deity's presence. So coming to Christ, coming to God, coming to the Lord is what is the indication here of to whom coming. And if you think about it, the work of a Christian is stated with one word, go. We are to go and spread the gospel, to preach the gospel to every creature. The life of a Christian is stated with one word, follow. Our life is to follow Christ. And the start of the Christian life is stated in one word, to come. We come to Christ. If you don't come to Christ, you don't become a Christian, a believer. That's how lost people are saved. Matthew 11, 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, Christ says. John 6, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Hebrews 7, 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the idea here is you must come to Christ, you must come to Jesus to be saved. Amen? But when Peter speaks of coming to Christ here, he's not speaking about the call to salvation. Because in 1 Peter 2, 3, Peter assumes his readers have already tasted that the Lord is good. So this it's not a coming to Christ for salvation. Verse 4 is a coming to Christ for communion, not a call to conversion. So this is how the Lord builds the church. To whom coming to refers to verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is good, is gracious. To be saved is to taste the goodness of the Lord. Amen? This saving taste of divine goodness is the beginning of our spiritual lives and the initial beginning of our spiritual appetites. So how is it, or what is it we are to do as believers to enjoy more of God's goodness? Right? Because the initial taste of God's goodness is certainly not enough to sustain us all of our Christian lives. Amen. Some people act like it is. It's not. So how do we enjoy more of the Lord's goodness? Well, by keeping coming to Him. Say amen. So we are saved, we are converted by coming to Christ, and we are sanctified by continually coming to Christ. We grow by coming to Christ and tasting more and more of His goodness. Somebody said, sinners are nothing without Christ, and saints are less than nothing without Christ. Say amen. We come to Him, we come to Christ for what? For everything we need. For everything we need, we come to Christ. And Christ here is called a living stone. Now, what does Peter mean here by Christ is a living stone? Well, a living stone here is a building stone. Buildings in biblical times were often built by using stones. And construction of a building or a home began by cutting what was known as the cornerstone. And the rest of the stones that will be added to the structure of the house were then cut to align themselves with this cornerstone. So the proof that Christ is the cornerstone of God's eternal plan of redemption is the fact that He is the living stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the living stone because of his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is a stone that has life. He is the stone that is life, and he is the stone that gives life. So from a human perspective, Christ, the living stone, Peter says, is disallowed. Or we could say that he is rejected by men. The stone that is to be the cornerstone of this building to provide direction for the structure of this building has been rejected by the builders. Rejected means disapproval after testing. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Because often we think that people reject Christ in their ignorance. They don't know Christ as well as they should, therefore they reject him. But understand, this idea of rejecting him is disapproval after testing. It's one thing to be rejected without any consideration. It's another thing to be rejected after due process. Israel rejected the messianic claims of Christ, even though, as we have learned in the book of John, that through the ministry of Christ, he fully validated that he was the Christ. He fully validated his true identity of who he claimed to be. But the stone that the builders rejected has not hindered it from becoming the cornerstone. Aren't you glad that what God does isn't up to the approval of men? Men don't decide things. Say amen. The builders rejected Christ as the cornerstone, and he becomes what we understand to be a stumbling block and a rock of offense. So men reject Christ, but the human verdict about Christ from men is overturned by divine authority. Again, men may have their votes, but they don't have final vote. In the sight of God, Christ is not rejected. In the sight of God, Christ is chosen. He is the chosen one to be the cornerstone of salvation. Christ is chosen, and Peter says that Christ is precious. Chosen stands in direct contrast to being rejected. Men may reject Christ, but God has chosen Christ. The stone was cut to fit the building. It was delivered to the construction site. The builders rejected it, but the rejected stone has been chosen by the architect, and he will be the cornerstone. He will be the foundation to this building. God has chosen Christ, and the rejection by men doesn't change a thing. Christ is chosen, and he is precious in the sight of God, which means that he is greatly honored, highly prized, extremely valuable. And the resurrection of Christ proves that he is the chosen one by God. And the exaltation of Christ to the right hand of the Father proves that he is precious to God. So, we see here in verse number 4, we see the process by which the Lord builds the church. It is through Christ. We are the church because of Christ. If you remove Christ, then we are, as that person said, we are less than nothing without Christ. So the process by which the Lord builds the church is that he has chosen God. Even though men has rejected him, he is chosen of God. He has chosen Christ, and he is precious to God the Father. Notice secondly, the purpose for which the Lord builds the church. We are the church by Christ, but there is a purpose why God does this. Verse 5, ye also are lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So here's the truth. The Lord owns the church. He bought us. Say amen. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He owns the church. He builds the church. Say amen. And he runs the church. Say amen. Verse 5, Peter uses two metaphors to describe the purpose of the church. He says, we are living stones. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, do not be confused. We are lively stones, but Jesus Christ is the living stone. Don't confuse the two. We as believers all get our spiritual life from Him. There is no spiritual life outside of Christ. Through faith that is given to us by God, through faith in Christ, the risen Christ, we become living stones. There was the fact that we were dead, but in Christ we are living stones. And the life that we have, or the life of the church, comes from the life of Christ. The lively stone has given the living stones life. And that life is eternal. Are you with me? And Jesus Christ, who is the living stone, produces in himself life that he gives to all of those who believe in him. So it's just not that Christ gives life because he has life. He gives life to those who believe in him. Say amen. He gives life to those who believe who he is. And so if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you are living stones in Christ. And you are that because God said you're that. You are living stones in Christ. And I just want to remind you that Christianity is not some improvement project. It is giving new life that was absent before. So if you are what you have always been, you're not a Christian. Say amen. If you are what you've always been, you're not a Christian. Christians are living stones. And this is the only place in the entirety of the New Testament that describes believers in this way. But it is who we are, because God says that's who we are. Verse 5 says, you are lively stones, built up into a spiritual house. Do you see that? So, living stones are not loose stones lying around separately. Say amen. Let me say that again. Living stones are not loose stones lying around individually and separately. Living stones are built on the living stone, right? Lively stones are built on the living stone with other lively stones that construct and build the house. Say amen. So the idea of being individual Christians is not a biblical idea. Are you with me? Peter says, in essence, that it is impossible to fulfill God's purpose for your life as a Christian outside of the fellowship of the church. It's impossible. You can't grow, you can't mature, you can't be sanctified on your own. You are designed to be in with other believers, other lively stones who together and side by side are used to develop the structure of this spiritual house. And those people who leave the church to be the church have no clue of the importance of the church and the importance of fellowshipping and being together and growing together in the church. Some people say, well, I can grow just fine on my own. No, you can't. It's not how God has designed it to be. You are not being built on the living stone if you're not being built with other lively stones. Say amen. It just does not happen that way, according to the Word of God. Now, maybe we should throw the Word of God away and just go by what we think is true. No, I'm not going to do that. It's the Word of God that is true. Say amen. And the Lord is not building just any house. Say amen. We're not just built into any house. It is a spiritual house, right? It is a spiritual house that He is building for divine habitation. The church is not a building. It is the people of God in Christ. The church is not where you go. It's what you are. Yes? You were made a lively stone by Christ, by the living stone, to be connected to other lively stones to build a house for God. That's what He says. There are no individual lively stones. They all come together to build a house for God. In Christ, we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit of God, and the Lord indwells every single lively stone. Say amen. We are lively stones that are being built up into a spiritual house for God's glory. Understand, we're not being built into a social construction. We're not being built into an entertaining structure. We're being built into a spiritual structure, a spiritual house for the glory of God. And then He says that we are a holy priesthood. So He changes metaphors here from lively stones to a holy priesthood. We are lively stones being built up as a spiritual house. Then we are a holy priesthood that is designed to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. So we're being built into this holy, divine habitation of God for the purpose of being a holy priesthood that are offering spiritual sacrifices to God. The church are the stones that build the structure, and the church are the priests that serve in it. Say amen. We are the structure and we are the servants of this spiritual house. If you'll remember, in the Old Testament, the priesthood consisted of consecrated men. The New Testament teaches that the priesthood consists of all true believers. Every believer, me and you, are priests before God. Right? I'm a priest, you're a priest. Say amen. I don't have to go to a priest, I am a priest. I am a priest because in Christ I have been made a holy priesthood. And the idea of priest is they have access to God. The worship of the nation of Israel was mediated through a priesthood, right? The people could not come into the presence of God. Only the anointed priest had direct access to God. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator. And unbelievers, if you are an unbeliever, you have absolutely no access to God. I don't think that God hears any prayer of an unbeliever except the prayer of repentance. There is no access given to God for unbelievers. But if we are under the blood of Christ, if we have received the righteousness of Christ, if we have had our sins taken by Christ, we now have a new standing before God. The priesthood. We have spiritual access to God. But it's not just spiritual access that priests enjoy. It is about spiritual duty. And yes, I did say duty. Verse 5 says, "You are also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." And here's the duty: to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, what are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, they are not animal sacrifices, right? We have not been built up into a spiritual house and made a holy priesthood so that we may offer animal sacrifices on the altar. That's not what he's talking about. And I don't think that's now, and I don't think that's going to happen in the future either. They are not sacrifices offered to secure forgiveness of sins, because there's only one sacrifice that has been provided in which salvation is afforded to those who come. It is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He takes care of salvation by himself. We don't need priests to offer sacrifices for sins for us. We are a holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So what spiritual sacrifices are we to offer if Christ has done all the work for us? Well, Romans 12:1 tells us that, right? We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. What is our duty as a royal priesthood? To praise and honor and worship the Lord. Say amen. Not offer animal sacrifices, not offer atonement for sins. That's been taken care of by Christ. But because we are in Christ, because Christ has done all that is necessary for us to be saved, we are to offer ourselves. We're to offer ourselves in worship, in praise, in honoring the Lord. God wants you to worship Him. Before He wants your time and your talent and your treasure, God wants you and your worship. A sacrifice that is acceptable to God. Do you understand a sacrifice that is not acceptable to God is a meaningless sacrifice? You see, we don't get to make the terms here. We don't get to say, "Okay, God, I'm giving you this." No. We have to offer God what He demands to be offered. It is an acceptable sacrifice to God. Our spiritual sacrifices are only acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It must be through Christ. It must be for Christ. It must be about Christ. Say amen. So when we assemble ourselves together, it ain't about us. It's about Christ. It's not about us being entertained. It's about Christ. Through Christ, for Christ, about Christ. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." By whom? By Christ. "By Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of" what? "Of praise to God." How often? Continually. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. It is who you are. Say amen. Some people say, well, I'm just not an outgoing person. I'm just not a vocal person. And you are who God says you are, not who you say you are. You are lively stones. Say amen. You have been given life, eternal life by Christ. You have been made a royal priesthood. For what reason? To offer praise, to offer thanks, to glorify God, to lift His name up, to praise Him. That's who we are. That's who God says we are. You going to argue with God? God says we are new creations in Christ. God says we are the children of God. And God says we are lively stones built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's who we are as believers. And we are that, why? Because that's who God says we are. Not who you say you are. Isn't that sort of what we do? Well, I identify as a silent participant. I identify as a spectator. No. That's not who you are. Or I identify as an individual believer and don't need the church. That's not what God says. As we come together, we mature together. Iron sharpening iron. And that's who we are. So you can't run off and be the church and be individuals away from the church. Say amen. I can only grow in Christ, and I can only sacrifice and worship and exercise my priesthood to Christ. Well, I can do that alone, but I'm also designed to do that corporately. Say amen. To come together and to praise the name of the Lord and to lift His name up and to magnify Him and be thankful to Him. For what reason? That we have life. Do you realize what you have in Christ? Sometimes we don't. Where would we be without Christ tonight? Maybe dead. Home is broken. Lives shattered. Maybe burning in the flames of hell without Christ tonight. Do you realize what you have in Christ? Then as a lively stone with everyone else, we are to praise Him. We are to lift Him up. We are to glorify Him. However God directs you to do that, say amen. He's worthy. And it is who you are. Say amen. Let's pray.